I'm Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 294. Welcome back from New York City, Kiyomi. Hey, how did it go?
New York City was amazing. I got to meet up with a bunch of sellers last Wednesday. We had a seller social. And so eBay has been doing these seller weeks, and we've been prioritizing the locations where we have an eBay office. And so I think New York might have been the last of the ones with an eBay office. And I came in to go to the seller social, and this was just a bunch of sellers in the region meeting up to talk with eBay staff and connect with one another. But I will say, like, someone came in, he had sneakers in his bag, and we were like, oh, those are nice. Were you making a sale? And he was like, hey, like, if I can, I mean, we're with a bunch of sellers. And I was like, this is so New York City. Of all the seller socials I've been to, I have not seen that. No one has brought anything to sell besides New York City.
It has its own energy, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does. But enough of my travels and about me. Who's the guest this week?
Well, our guest this week is eBay seller in 2023 up and running grantee, Daniel Truillo. Daniel will be speaking with our podcast correspondent, Georgia Mampanis, from our monthly Seller Spotlight series, which, if you're curious, I may have mentioned this before. We moved the Seller Spotlight podcast from its separate podcast, and we've borged it into ours. So it's now part of the eBay for Business podcast.
We've absorbed it.
We absorbed it. Right. And we have two questions about international shipping to answer when we come back after the interview with Daniel. And I have a totally new feature I want to introduce, and you're not going to want to miss it. So stay tuned after our Q&A section, you know, our You Got Questions. But first, let's take a look at the eBay news for this week.
Severe weather, the up-and-running grant program, and our next seller check-in are all in the news this week. First, we have weather updates for sellers impacted by the storms last week across the southern coast. We are continuing to track the weather and are extending protections as needed. To learn more, go to community.ebay.com and look for the seller news post for seller protections are in place. Don't forget to get your up-and-running grant application in while there's still time. Applications are open now through June 7th, 2024 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And one more thing. Our next seller check-in, the summer seller check-in, will take place on June 6th between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Be sure to mark that date and time on your calendar.
There you go. So three little news items for this week. Mostly reminders, but reminders can be news, right?
They're good. Yeah. Good to know.
Well, thanks, Kiyomi. We'll catch up again, as I said, after we hear from Georgia and her guest.
Every seller has a story. I'm Georgia Mampanis, and you may recognize my voice from the eBay Seller Spotlight podcast. The podcast has now moved. You can catch these inspiring seller stories in a segment on the eBay for Business podcast once a month. All of the eBay content you love is now all in one place. Our guest this month learned about making money via internet startups during high school, where he started his eBay business. He went on to study at USC Film School and got a job in Hollywood as a freelance production sound mixer. But once COVID hit and filming halted, his eBay business was there for him. Welcome, Daniel Truillo.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
So we want to know about your business. What do you sell?
I'll sell anything I get my hands on, to be honest with you. I mean, whatever makes money is what I've always told myself. But primarily, I focus on collectibles and apparel, clothing, because those things seem to be things that people continuously buy, even if they already have enough of them, like shirts or something like Funkos. I know people who have entire walls full of Funkos, but they're still buying them. So I cater more towards those markets, but also that's because they align with what I like. I like to sell things that I am knowledgeable about, that I know about. But that doesn't mean that I don't stray into venues that I don't know about, because, you know, you never know what might be that next golden ticket, as they say. And you never know what you might discover you might have passions for.
You obviously are knowledgeable in a lot of spaces and in a lot of categories. You must have been doing this for a while. Do you remember when you first started selling on eBay?
On eBay, not exactly, but I started selling in 2007 on Amazon. Honestly, eBay was a little bit intimidating for me in 2007 because you had to take pictures and you had to do all of these. Whereas Amazon, you just kind of typed it in and it did everything for you. But I started with books. My first item sold, everyone asked, so I'll just go ahead and tell you, was a weird one, which still to this day doesn't make any sense to me, but it was Jeffrey Dahmer's autobiography. Now, what was weird about that, besides the content, was the fact that the book was completely, like, destroyed. The cover was bent, it was a hard cover, and I'm like, this is not going to sell, and sure enough, it did, and I'm glad that that was the first thing, because it let me know, just because it's not perfect, or just because it's not fresh from the stores or something like that, that doesn't mean it doesn't have value. That was a good experience. Especially just to get out of my house, too.
Okay, so you were born selling on eBay. What were you doing before you started selling?
Playing video games or trying to maintain a relationship with my first girlfriend. I was only 14, 15 at the time. I started in high school because of my digital graphics teacher, of all people. I mean, not related to selling at all. Although he was an eBay, I forget what they call it, a certified eBay manager, something like this. I don't know if that program still exists, but he would always flaunt that he was a certified eBay teacher or something like this. During his digital graphics courses, he would be teaching us how to do like MySpace at the time style graphics with glitter font and all this stuff. But in the meantime, after the first 30 minutes or so, he would break into business discussions because at that point, we all had computers. Most of us were just on the internet surfing things because there was no blocks at our school. So, I mean, people were playing video games, whatever they could. But he would always talk about, again, this is 2007, the incoming impending crisis. Because he would always say that there's going to be a financial crisis coming soon. You need to learn how to make money on your own. You know, you can't be tied to the system, as he would say. And he would talk about his grandma. His name's Damian Jordan, by the way, Mr. Jordan, as I know him. He would talk about his grandma who survived the Great Depression by making little leather coin purses, essentially. And so he would try to get us to have these online hustles. At first, he was trying to talk about blogging, where you could talk about, you know, if you like guitars, you can blog about a guitar. And if you sell a guitar with these affiliate links, you'll get a commission and et cetera, et cetera. I'll be honest, that didn't interest me. It just felt too random, just felt too chance. I could be writing for years and never get a single sale. But then he told us about online resale. But he's like, I'm not going to tell you about it in class. If you're interested, you need to come see me after school. That's the only way I'm going to talk about it. And so me and myself were the only ones who showed up after class on that particular day. And he said, look, if you're really interested, I'm going to go down to the Salvation Army on, you know, 6th Street, which is like down the street from the school. If you'd like to learn more, you can meet me there. And so I'm like, cool, but I'm 15 and I'm like, I call my parents, can I go down to meet my teacher at the Salvation Army after school? You know, I'm glad it wasn't today because in 2024, my dad or my mom probably been like, hell no. But, you know, back then they're like, sure, we'll pick you up. I'll be there with you. If you're really passionate about this, why not? We went down to the thrift store. I met him and his wife and he had already had a cart full of books. That was his thing. He gave me a few books. He's like, these are your starter books. These are going to sell, I promise you. One of them was that Jeffrey Dahmer book. And sell them, come back to me, and then I'll start to teach you more and more as we go on throughout the semester. And I remember selling, again, that Jeffrey Dahmer book and like a fishing book, a few other little books that he gave me. And I told him, and he's like, okay, great. Don't spend that money. Save $500. Once you save $500, I'll tell you the next step to unlocking your, you know, journey, right? Sold the $500 after the end of the semester and came back to him. He's like, you didn't spend it, right? He's like, no, it's there. He's like, cool. I need you to go to this link and buy this device. And a part of the device was a subscription service. So the device was a PDA. I know we all have iPhones and smartphones now, but for those who are listening, maybe don't know what a PDA is. It was essentially the precursor to a smartphone. It was a touchscreen and had a stylus and stuff like that. No internet access. But the purpose of this device was I could connect a Bluetooth scanner, like a barcode scanner, to it. And every day before I would go out hunting, a part of this service, it's called a seller tool. They're still around. I don't know if they still do this service. But for $30 a month, I could download Amazon's database straight to the PDA as of the moment I downloaded it. So it was accurate until that moment. So I would download it in the morning and then spend the day thrifting, going around different stores and scanning barcodes. And it would literally tell you, buy this, don't buy this. So I too was leaving with shopping carts full of books. And at my peak in high school, I was taking in about $2,000 a month just on books. And then I went to college and I kind of stopped because I thought in my mind, I need to take college 1000% serious. I can't be doing any of this Amazon stuff, this eBay stuff. Foolish decision in my part, but it is what it is. You live and learn. But yeah, so that's what really started my journey. And he was telling me along the way, you know, the real key is liquidation. Like, that's where you want to end up, is ending in that liquidation market and buying wholesale. And, you know, you don't really want to go to the thrift stores like this anymore, because you're just going to be spending so much time. But it's like fishing. You throw your rod out there and maybe you'll catch something, maybe you won't. But yeah, that's what really started everything for me, was him and then my drive to just do all that.
What did you take in college and where'd that lead you?
So I'll be honest, in high school, my advisors, my instructors, they were all telling me, you got to go to college, you got to apply to college. And coming from a Catholic private school, I went to public high school. That was also in the mind at, you know, my private school, is college, college, college. You can't be successful without a degree. And so throughout high school, I was thinking, I don't really know what I want to do. I have no idea what I want to do. I don't know what my career paths are. Not that I wasn't exploring. It just felt very final to go to college. And it was an English teacher who said, you know, you could just go to community college and transfer and really just kind of get an idea for everything. That's what I ended up doing, because I literally had no idea. I asked myself before I went to community college, what do I like doing? I like playing video games. And then I said, okay, well, I can't make money playing video games. And then astronomy. I loved astronomy. I love space, everything like that. And then movies. I loved watching movies. So I knew nothing about making movies, but those are my interests. Video games was out. My first semester, I took an astronomy course, realized there was way too much math involved and it wasn't as exciting as I thought it was, to be honest. I realized that I love reading about astronomy. I love reading about the theories that other people have come up with, but it just wasn't for me. And then the movie class kind of changed everything for me, to be honest, because that's when I learned about the magic of cinema. And I could literally talk about movies all day long. And that led me to figuring out that was really a passion in life. And ultimately, I decided at that point, now that I know what I want to do, where can I go to pursue this career? And so I was USC, LMU, NYU, UCLA, you know, all the major colleges that do film. And fortunately, I was accepted to USC, and that's where I went. And so for the next 2 years after I transferred out with my degree, I studied production.
How many hours in a day do you put in on eBay?
If I'm on set, zero, unless I sell something. If I sell something, I'll ensure that, like, when I get home, I have the time to package it and send it off before I go to set the next morning or after, depending on the hours. Because a film set is a 12-hour minimum day, minimum. Yeah, and usually for the projects I'm working on, they're trying to cram a lot more in than they have time for. So those days end up being 14, 15-hour days. But in the meantime, the benefit of being freelance is I really do get to set my own schedule in terms of when I'm not working and things like that, or being able to say no to something if maybe something is coming up. Like a few years ago, I was selling in person a lot. And so there was jobs that might come up that I could say no to because I knew that I wasn't necessarily losing anything financially. It also works the other way around too, where I could say no to certain things selling wise because I knew I wasn't going to, you know, I was going to make up for it by networking or meeting new people. Or so in terms of time towards eBay while I'm working, it's pretty low, I'll be honest. But I feel like that's the benefit of eBay, is it's once you put in the work to list properly and do all that, it's kind of low maintenance. I don't mean that as a negative thing. It's just when I'm in the zone, I know I can put 15 to 20 minutes into eBay in the morning, and that might be it for the day.
While you're working, I'm wondering, does, you know, your eye wander? Are you able to potentially get any of your inventory from the film sets you are on?
Not like that, no. Because if there's anything that I take from set, given to me, I should say, I never take anything from set. But if anything was given to me, it's usually something personal. There's usually a story behind it or something like that that has more value to me than financial value. Being a part of film sets hasn't expanded my business mindset, because you learn about clothing. Because as a sound person, I have to mic the actors or actresses. And because of that, I have to work right alongside costume and on production design and things like that. I'm being exposed to brand names that I might not have heard of before, but they have value because, you know, the character might wear I'm going to make this up. I know what Tom Ford is, but they're wearing a Tom Ford suit. Maybe I've never heard of Tom Ford before, but I'm seeing it, right? Or certain shoes or certain hats, et cetera, et cetera. And being in LA, you kind of run around enough to know where Warner Brothers or Sony or all these major studios kind of are tired of their props, where they put that stuff. And so I do acquire or purchase film related props or things like that from these places. I do actually sell things from other sets, I guess is a better way to put it.
So I'm going to switch gears again. We are in the process right now of taking applications for up and running grants. And I know you received a grant in 2023. Congrats again for that. How did the grant proceeds benefit your business?
Well, I still have money. That was one of the things that I submitted, was that I wasn't going to spend all of it. I think it's very easy to spend that amount of money, especially when you're running a business. I mean, I'm not commenting on anyone else, but I could see myself 10 years ago, for example, buying it all on inventory or something like that. I made it so where I have some money for stocks because I believe in my company. So I believe in the long-term value of my company. I believe that my company will exist in 5, 10 years, you know, 15 years when these stocks mature, that my overall value of the company will be there. So there's things like that where immediate, there's no returns on it. But again, I'm investing in my business that I believe in wholeheartedly. So there's things like that. Some stuff did go to inventory. I can't lie, but not all of it. And then a lot of other things, I like to say the money allowed me to breathe, best I can describe it, where there's been certain things that I've been on my docket and I'm like, I don't feel comfortable pulling the trigger on this subscription service or XYZ, whatever it might be, that I said, okay, I now have that breathing room to do it, to explore these options, to see if there are benefits to a MailChimp email subscriber list, et cetera, you know, all these different business tools that are out there. So I've been slowly pulling the trigger on those, like an eBay store, buying the whole year in advance. So I don't have to worry about that monthly payment at all. It's just paid for. It's just done.
Do you believe grants like these are important for businesses to apply for?
Yes, to just give you a short answer. But the long answer is, I think anytime someone is willing to give you money, someone or some organization or something like that, you better be ready. Film taught me that, where if you're in the game long enough, the opportunity for you to succeed will come. Whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 5 minutes from now, it will come as long as you continue to grind at it. But you need to be ready. If you're not ready, it might not ever come again. And so, yes, money like this is extremely important, but only if you're ready for it. That's how I look at it. Only if you're ready for it. Clearly, there's a submission process, application process, which you do have to prove to a certain extent you are worthy, for lack of a better word, of this grant. But I think you should be ready for it because it could really jumpstart your life, essentially. That's enough seeding money to elevate you to that next level.
And to add on to that, applications close June 7th. Daniel, where can we find you and your store online?
Currently, I'm on eBay. TheHoarderStore.com will have all of my links as well, because I also sell on other platforms, not just eBay, because diversification is great. But I do love eBay. I really do love eBay. That's why I'm an eBay ambassador now. No matter what, eBay's like my ride or die. As long as I continue to be in good graces with eBay, I know they've been there for me. And so as a result, I will always be there for them. Doesn't matter if I make 10 times as much money on another platform, it doesn't matter to me. eBay was there for me, and that loyalty is like super important. That's something that I just can't just shush to the side.
I love that story, and you're going to continue to be on it, and we can't wait to follow up with you, see what movies you have in the works. Thank you so much for being here today. Really appreciate it. This was awesome.
Thank you. I'm really grateful for the opportunities eBay's given me, and I look forward to the new opportunities that I'm sure eBay will continue to give me as time goes on.
Daniel Trujillo sells on eBay under the store name The Hoarder Store. Check out his store if you're a pop culture fan, from collectibles to fashion and so much more. We hope you'll join us on our next segment, where we'll shine the spotlight on another seller with an amazing story to share. Now back to Griff.
You've got questions.
We've got answers. And our first question this week, Kaomi, is about international shipping. And in fact, both questions this week are about international shipping.
Oh, lovely.
So we're right on topic. And would you mind reading the first question?
I would be happy to. So Diane sent this in to podcast@ebay.com, and she says, hello, Recently, a sale that was going to a U.S. address was charged an international fee. It appears that this is the address of a freight forwarding company in Oregon. I am opted into eBay International Shipping because I love the no international selling fees and the excellent seller protections. Confused as to why there was an international fee charged for a U.S. address and concerned that I'm not protected for these freight forwarding sales. Also, want to make sure my setting correctly reflects that I don't sell internationally on my own, but only to countries in the eBay International Shipping Program. Can you give some insight? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great question.
Diana Tate, Red Rabbit Sale 1 is her seller ID. All right. Well, yes, Diana, we can provide some insight. The international fee is charged if the buyer's registration address is outside of the United States. What happened in this instance, as you suspected, the international buyer had the item shipped to a U.S. destination, but since the buyer's registration address is outside of the U.S., you were charged an international transaction fee. There is no way for a seller to block purchases or bids from a buyer who uses a freight forwarding service.
Yeah, and it's a question that's come up in the past, and there's simply no way to do that. And it's for ensuring that you're using the eBay International Shipping for all international sales, Diana. You can determine that by going to My eBay, which is on the right-hand top of any eBay page, and then clicking it, and then selecting the Account tab, and then scrolling down to Shipping Preferences. And then on that page, make sure the selector for opt-in, opt-out for international shipping is set to opt-in. And that's all you need to do. Now all of your listings will be opted in for international shipping, except as we'll see in a moment, those listings that are in categories which are ineligible. And in that case, the buyer will never see them on their international site. They won't show up. And you know, it's interesting because there's been a lot of talk over the years about these freight forwarders, and I'm not quite sure why people use them. It may be a cheaper way to get some international shipping. They ship kind of in bulk when they collect enough stuff. And it's mostly Pacific Rim countries where this is popular. But yeah, there's no way to block them. And your responsibility, by the way, is only to the address on the invoice. So if you're shipping an item to an address in Oregon and it shows as delivered, you're clear. After that, it's kind of like eBay International Shipping. The onus is entirely on the buyer. You don't have to worry about customs or extra fees. You've done what you're supposed to do, which is get that item to that domestic address that was on the invoice.
Exactly. Just ship it to the place it needs to go and you'll be good.
Yeah, don't worry about it at all. Our next question was sent to podcast@ebay.com by seller Catherine, and she writes, most of my stamp and paper money shipments are in the domestic United States. Does the eBay standard envelope work for international shipping? My user ID is member 6354A. Sincerely, Catherine. Interesting. I know she only asked one question, but it needs two answers.
I know, we had split it up. Catherine, yeah. You asked a great question. And so we've got some good news and possibly some bad news. We'll see how you take it. First, the good news. Yes, the eBay standard envelope service can be used for shipments through eBay International Shipping. Remember, you only need to worry about domestic shipping when shipping an item through eBay International Shipping. eBay handles the rest from there. However, Griff, I'm going to let you cover the bad news.
Yes, Catherine, now the bad news. The stamps, coin, and paper money category is ineligible for eBay International Shipping. So anything listed in that category is not going to be displayed to eBay buyers outside of the U.S. if a seller has opted into eBay International Shipping. Now, if you can get around that a little bit, you could, of course, provide your own international shipping for those items listed in the stamps, coins, paper, money category. And you do that by selecting the option that says other international shipping in the shipping section or in a new or existing shipping policy if you're using those. And then this will prompt you to provide shipping details like what carrier and what service. Now, if a seller adds their own international shipping option and the listing doesn't qualify for eBay International Shipping, the buyer will see your shipping option only. And this is the international buyer. If you add your own international shipping service and you're opted into the eBay International Shipping and the item qualifies for eBay International Shipping, then the buyer's going to be presented with a choice of both. So you got to keep that in mind. Of course, you're responsible if you ship through your own service for international that you've selected. you're going to be responsible for getting that item to the international destination, unlike eBay international shipping. And the buyer's going to probably be on the hook for any customs or duties, tax, VAT. And if the buyer wants to return it, you have to take the return. So it gets really complicated. The reason why a majority of our sellers who offer their items internationally now do so exclusively through eBay international shipping is because of the ease of use and that entire elimination of any responsibility for returns or having to worry about the extra charges. But this puts you in a kind of a quandary because from your email, it sounds like you want to be able to offer items in the stamps, coins, paper, money category through eBay international shipping, and that won't happen. International shipping, always a hot topic.
A good topic, nonetheless.
A very good topic. So thank you for sending those questions in.
Do you have a question about selling on eBay? Don't delay. Call in at 888-723-4630 or email it to us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
That's 888-723-4630 or podcast@ebay.com. I repeat them every week. You know what I'm talking about. But don't drop off now because we have a brand new feature for the end of our episodes. Now, instead of the old three-point podcast checklist, which we've been doing for several years and which, quite frankly, was getting, pretty stale, this week we have a fresh new end of the episode feature. It's called, drumroll, please. That was pathetic, Kaomi. Thanks.
I'm trying my best here.
Okay. Tip of the week.
How exciting. I love that. Okay, Griff. Well, what is the first tip of the week for this episode?
Okay, this one comes from me. In the future, they'll come from sellers, from Kaomi and myself. This one is about packing, and it's about a particular pet peeve of mine. If you're shipping an item in a mailer or poly bag, make sure to use one that allows for extra room for just space. And I'll tell you why. I buy a lot of, say, shirts on eBay, and very well-meaning sellers will stuff something like a shirt into a small mailer bag, and it comes like a little pillow. Well, that's great. You know, it's a shirt. It's not going to get broken. But that kind of packing provides no room at one of the edges of the bag for me, the buyer, to open it safely with scissors or a knife, and it risks the buyer, me, damaging the item in the bag while trying to open it, and it's happened more than once. So if you package the item carefully so that it fits inside of the bag, and the bag is bigger than the item, if the buyer then picks it up and gives it a shake to get the item to move to the bottom of the bag, that's going to give that buyer ample space for cutting it open without damaging the item inside. There you go. Tip of the week.
And that's a good tip of the week. I like it.
Thanks.
But still, we want to remind you to always check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news and to check the episode transcript for follow-up and for any links we reference during the episode.
Speaking of our next episode, 295, we'll talk with eBay's Chief Sustainability Officer, Renee Morin, about this year's just-released eBay Recommerce Report.
All right, well, we'd like to again thank our guest this week, eBay seller and 2023 up-and-running grantee, Daniel Trujillo.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.